Hello all, I'm Ignacio Ayala, the lead analyst for data and insights here at Silverline, and welcome to What Just Happened, a short format podcast where I ask my colleagues to quickly explain recent geopolitical incidents, their relevant background, and key issues to watch. Today, we will be discussing the United Nations Security Council ceasefire resolution, tensions between the U.S. and Israel, and Israeli domestic political concerns with Megan Sutcliffe, our associate analyst at the Middle East and Africa desk in Silverline. So, Megan, what just happened?
So, 2 days ago, on the 25th of March, the United Nations Security Council adopted a resolution which calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza that should last until the end of the month of Ramadan, which would be the 9th of April. The resolution also called for the immediate and unconditional release of hostages held by Hamas and other armed groups in Gaza. This is significant because this is one of the first instances of the US abstaining from using its veto and blocking a ceasefire resolution going through the UNSC.
Okay, and can you give us some background into those discussions at the UN to impose a ceasefire in Gaza?
Absolutely. So since the Israel-Hamas war began back in October, there have been numerous calls for resolutions calling for immediate ceasefires. And we've had several rounds of proposals, both from the US, from parties like the UAE, but also from Algeria, who sits in the Security Council as a rotating member at the moment. Generally, the phrasing of these resolutions has been key to understanding why they have or haven't passed. Anything calling for a permanent ceasefire has been vetoed by the United States, and several times when we've seen resolutions that would condition a ceasefire on hostage releases, that has also been vetoed by parties like Russia and China. The reason, though, that these resolutions really matter is because under international law, UNSC resolutions should be legally binding. It puts the onus on Israel to adhere to these resolutions and to abide by them. And so the passage of one calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza really shows just how much pressure is on Israel at the moment to agree to such an agreement.
Thank you, Megan. It definitely appears to be a turning point, especially in U.S. foreign policy for the Biden administration. But also we're seeing a lot of other countries reacting to this decision, such as Colombia, for example, which called for countries to cut diplomatic relations with Israel if Israel fails to comply with the decision. In the case of U.S.-Israeli relations, which are not only extremely important for Israel from a defense point of view, but also are definitely pivotal for the Biden administration in the middle of an election cycle. What are the implications of this decision?
So some of the implications of this decision we've already seen. There's been fallout from this. Relations between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and US President Joe Biden have reached somewhat of an all-time low. Netanyahu cancelled a high-level delegation trip to discuss the potential expansion of IDF operations into Rafah that was meant to be heading to Washington, D.C. in a few days. That has now been cancelled, showing the breakdown in dialogue between these two administrations. The U.S. allowing this resolution to go through has, in some individuals' views, emboldened Hamas, allowing them to stick to harsher negotiating standpoints during ongoing negotiations in Qatar. And we received news shortly after the resolution was adopted, stating that Israel had withdrawn some of its negotiating personnel. That being said, the US has stated subsequently that it doesn't view this resolution as binding, which is a little bit confusing as a statement, as generally these resolutions are binding. The US has not elaborated on this. It likely reflects the fact that this resolution doesn't contain punitive measures if it's not followed, for example, sanctions or weapons embargoes. However, as this resolution doesn't contain that, perhaps that feeds into the US's legal justification that it doesn't see it as binding. But the overall implication for Israel right now is that this is a lot of international legal pressure, and it shows the cracks that are really beginning to show in its key relationship with the US. what that means in the short term, we continue to assess, as Sibylline, that a conditioning or suspension of military aid from the US to Israel remains unlikely. There are both economic and political factors that make that an unlikely outcome in the short term. However, the US is likely going to continue using the rhetoric it's using at the moment, for example, stating that civilian casualties due to operations in Gaza are too high, calling for Israel to scale down or rework plans for the Rafah expansion. And over the past few months, we've seen the US really expanding sanctions on West Bank settlers and West Bank settlements as their favored policy tool for showing Israel that it is not happy with certain actions. So we may see these expanding over the next few weeks.
So to recap, do we consider that this UN resolution increases the probabilities of a political agreement being reached in Qatar, number one? And number two, do we consider that the ceasefire is going to be complied with?
What a question. So currently we assess that an agreement is unlikely to be reached over the coming days. There is significant tension in negotiations at the moment, and Israel withdrawing some of its negotiating personnel is not going to do anything to help resolve that. There are numerous sticking points, for example, over how many prisoners should be released as part of the deal, and also how long a ceasefire should be for. Even if that were not the case, though, looking at the resolution, it only calls for a ceasefire until the end of Ramadan, which will be the 9th of April. And generally, there is an understanding in the international community that negotiations like this take time. They are not simply something that can be written out and then chucked out in a day and implemented. And so the likelihood of an agreement being reached before the end of Ramadan remains relatively low, and the likelihood of such an agreement being implemented in that time frame remains very low. So at present, we're not looking at an imminent ceasefire.
Thank you, Megan. And lastly, we've seen some significant tensions within Israel. Can you tell us the implications of this UN resolution on Israeli politics? And we've seen some resignations. Are these tied to international pressures, or is it just a matter of timing?
It seems at present to be a matter of timing. On the same day that the UNSC passed this resolution, the Israeli cabinet essentially received a political firestorm, which relates to conscription into the IDF. This is a relatively complex situation, but at present, ultra-Orthodox individuals can receive deferments for doing their compulsory military service in Israel. However, the legal framework that this is based on is due to expire at the end of March. And so the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been attempting to propose legislation that would resolve the status of deferments for ultra-Orthodox individuals before legislation expires at the end of March. This is a very contentious issue. Operations in Gaza, the West Bank, but also in northern Israel have shown that the IDF truly does need to expand its recruitment base. And at present, the ultra-Orthodox population is the fastest growing segment of Israeli society. However, Benjamin Netanyahu rules through a coalition that involves numerous ultra-Orthodox parties who are opposed to individuals being conscripted. The proposed law that came in was widely rejected by both the Defense Minister, Yoav Gallant, who is a key figure in the war cabinet, but also the general war effort at the moment, and was rejected by the opposition leader, Benny Gantz, who said that he would resign his party from the wartime coalitional unity government in the event that it passes. This means that there are incredible tensions within the coalition. And yesterday we received news that Gideon Saar, a minor member of the coalition government, had resigned because of this legislation. Given these tensions and the fact that they are occurring at the same time as this ceasefire resolution, there is pressure essentially from above and from below on the Netanyahu government, which is really something we need to be paying attention to.
And it's something that apparently we'll have to schedule an episode for. Thank you very much, Megan, for coming in today and for all of your insight.
Thank you for having me.
And that wraps up another episode of What Just Happened. Thank you for listening, and make sure to check out all of Sibylline's content through your favorite podcast provider. To get more content or contact us, read the details down below. Thank you very much.